Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
We've been talking about a lot of services and hearing from listeners about a lot of services in the health sector, so to speak, that have gone during the lockdown, nearly 14 weeks now. Right from the get-go, it was the parents of adult children with special needs. All those wonderful daycare centres and their schools and activities were gone from day one, and this had a terrible effect, still is having a terrible effect on the household. And yesterday we also heard from Roisin about, she's 21, she suffers from trigeminal neuralgia, which is excruciating pain, and her pain clinic is gone, and she was trying to find out when they might resume. Mike Bourne, a lot of people know the name Mike Bourne, very, very well known photographer. Mike, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And unfortunately, trigeminal neuralgia was very prominent in your household, your wife, who's the designer, Betty Walsh.
Yes, well, what happened in, she was undergoing on and off now for the last 4 or 5 years, radiation burn treatment and cancer. That was going on. But in the first week of November, I was giving her breakfast, actually, and suddenly she had this excruciating pain, screaming. And she had already had this once before, a couple of years ago.
Okay.
It was the trigeminal neuralgia. And it's, if anyone knows about it, it's like getting an electric shock,
yeah,
or a hot wire from the back of your lower sort of teeth up through your cheek to your brain.
Yeah.
It is from 1 to 10, according to her dental specialist, Andrew Bolus, who is extremely helpful.
Mm. It,
a bad toothache is number 1. From 1 to 10.
God.
Trigeminal neuralgia, the pain is number 10.
Oh, my God.
And it was because it didn't disappear. It wasn't like an immediate electric shock goes away,
oh,
after a couple of seconds. It was permanent. I had to call an ambulance,
yes,
because she was flailing and screaming hysterically. And when they got her to Sligo General Hospital, they were very, very good. But they had to put her almost on some kind of opiate that was like morphine, because
mm-hmm,
the pain was so bad, she had to be almost knocked out. And she was in the hospital for nearly 3 weeks,
ah,
undergoing that pain treatment, Joe. And they were very, very good.
Yeah.
But also, she was still taking a medication for the cancer. And eventually, I managed to get her home. But she was petrified of opening her mouth or,
uh-huh,
eating any solid food, because she didn't want the, she had the memory, you see, the memory of that pain was so bad that everything else just fell into insignificance, you know. But it was very difficult for the last 6 months, honestly, and eventually, sadly for me, in April, she passed away with cancer, and she's,
yeah,
very well known. And it was a double whammy, because I had to try and go through funerals and things when we had the lockdown. So
yeah,
we were the first in our local little church to go through the first one of these lesser funerals and church services, you know. But I must say, everyone obeyed the rules, and it was just very, very good, but obviously very, very sad. But that pain is not funny, I'm telling you.
Yeah,
I used to go to visit her in the hospital, and it was like seeing someone that was stoned. She couldn't, the pain was so bad that she had to almost be in a different world all the time. So I was just listening about,
yeah,
the little girl yesterday.
Roisin,
and a nerve block was going to be the end result,
mm,
but that never happened, unfortunately, because she passed away subsequently.
And I think Roisin said she's in dread of her coming back. And she mentioned the whole thing about eating and opening her mouth. But you're saying Betty actually was afraid to open her mouth.
I had to learn how to be a chef, a very good... Food is always part of my life anyway,
okay,
although I'm a photographer.
Yeah, yeah.
But I phoned Kevin Thornton up, and they said, Kevin, we've got a new program there. He's our finest chef, really, Kevin,
mm,
Thornton. And I said, we should start maybe designing or preparing food, baby food, for adults that can't chew or swallow anymore, you know. But I learned to cook very, very nutritious food.
Mm.
I had to, that was liquefied, you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
Even today now, I was telling your researcher yesterday, I've collected 40 avocado stones, which during this period when I used to give her half an avocado every day, which she loved, mashed with olive oil and salt and lime juice. Yeah. And I kept the stones, and I'm going to take a photograph of them.
Okay. And Mike, you mentioned COVID. Were there visiting restrictions for you?
I tell you what, when she finally had to go into the hospital, you see what happened, she came home after Christmas, and that was fine. But then 2 weeks before she actually passed away, she had to go for a scan. But I said, please find out about the pain in your stomach. And they found out that it wasn't related to an operation she had a couple of years ago, that in fact it was liver cancer and breast cancer that had spread like wildfire. And she had to then go to a hospice. And you know, when it's a hospice, it's the amen chorus, basically. But I managed to meet her the first day in the hospice. By the way, they're fantastic people in there.
I know.
They really are. I don't know how they do it. But I meant to see her on the first day. The second day, I couldn't see her. It was awful because of the lockdown.
Yeah.
And she was still okay then. And I used to have to talk to her through a window, which was fine because her bed and her chair and that were there. And it was getting awful because I couldn't talk to her. So I got, being a bit of a creative person, I don't want to start crying, but I got an A3... a sketch pad and a big red magic marker.
Right.
And I just stuck on the window, "Morning, darling." Then I said, "I love you so much." And then I had another page with big red kisses on it. And that's the way I had to communicate. Yeah. Sorry about that.
No,
but and then the next day, I took a bunch of flowers from the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And I taped them to the window. See, the nurses, even in the hospice, hadn't ever seen anything like this before, because they hadn't had reason to lock people out before. So anyway, I managed, and in the end, we buried her locally. And for me personally, Joe, it's wonderful because it's only 2 minutes away from where I live, and I go to her little grave every day at 6 o'clock.
Every day.
And play the Angelus in my car. Turn up the radio. And it's for the whole graveyard. Then I go and sit with her for an hour, half an hour, talk rubbish. See, for me, it's been lonely, Joe, because we don't have kids. My family live in America and Canada. And Betty's has a brother in Wexford and a niece in Italy. And the thing is, when you don't have family, it suddenly becomes really lonely. And remember, Betty and me have been a creative force together for 44 years, imagine. And it's just been very sad. But the locals have been absolutely wonderful. It's like an extended family.
You're well liked, Mike. You always were, you and Betty.
What about Mike? I think our immediate family of locals are wonderful. And they were mowing the graveyard one day at 6 o'clock, and Hillary is in charge of the church, and the general fact told everyone to stop to listen to the Angelus, you know. And one of the lads came over and said to me, "Mike, I must give you condolences, I didn't see you yet." And he made everyone continue to stop while he said the prayers for us, and I thought that was lovely. And of course, I had to go up to one of them. My hair's getting very long now, Joe. And I said to them later on as I was leaving on a different note, "Who is the best strimmer here?" Because they were strimming and cutting the grass. And they said Hillary. And I said, "In that case, my hair can actually go for another 2 weeks." I need a strim, not a trim.
Mike, you always had luxuriant hair, had you not?
I still got some.
Yeah, I know. And Mike, what's...
I'm getting on a bit now. We were together 44 years. Remember that, Joe?
What was the significance? What is the significance of the Angelus every evening for you?
I have become, well, I've always been very, very spiritual. I just go to visit her in the grave, that's all. And I thought, because it's summer, I just go there in the evening and just do it. And it just happened by chance. The first day I went there, I just automatically stopped because the Angelus was on. And I thought, this is rather, maybe it's a message or something. But they kind of like it as well.
It's an intoning. It's a sound.
Kind of a mantra. Well, it's just me just thanking the Divine Spirit God for everything we have.
Mike, there's lots of people ringing in about Betty. I'll just try. I've only about 30 seconds
to talk. Another thing is that as they were mowing the grass, the ding was terrible. And I had to say to Betty, Betty, listen, we haven't got new neighbours upstairs making a noise. These are really nice guys up here. They're tidying up everyone's bedroom.
Okay. And will you slip around this evening?
I will at 6 o'clock, yeah.
Okay.
I was even there last night in howling gales and rain, but I didn't stay long.
Okay. Well,
and we even had a birthday party for her there as well.
Okay. Well, a lot of people are phoning in remembering Betty. And, of course, know you too from your incredible photographic work over the years. I hope at 6 o'clock this evening those people who are phoning in and others will remember Betty.
Well, I do. And listen, in all fairness, the neighbours, you know, the locals, they're my extended family. There's no two ways about it. You know, I live in Sligo, so the graveyard's only 2 minutes away, so it's great. Okay. But the pain thing, the other thing, you should get that girl to get maybe checked out for a nerve block, because it's not the tooth, it's excruciating.
We're trying to contact the pain clinic. Okay, Mike Bond, my condolences again, and you mind yourself. That's Mike Bond. Joe at RT.ie continues. Rebecca Meehan produced, and Ray Darcy is next.